coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman, a very special edition of the Hagman Report on this, the ninth day of February, 2024. I'm Doug Hagman. Of course, I'm on the road on assignment, number of different things taking place. I'm down in the actually south part of the United States, but working on some things that relate to what we are about to talk about. Now, I'm coming to you with two very special guests. Number one, Luke from ShatterOps.org. And the second person, someone you haven't heard in a while or heard from in a while, and her name, of course, is Afia. And she is the victim, and I'm going to get into this momentarily, she's a victim of some unconscionable things taking place within our injustice system. Now, the reason I'm on the road in part is to deal with things like this, although I'm not dealing with this directly. Just want to be clear on that. But what I've heard over the last several days has required, I mean, this is a requirement that we get this story out, that we get Afia's story out. Many of you have sent me emails asking me, well, what's going on with Afia? And you might remember, we had her on twice before. She is the mother of two children. Jesse Jr., who is now 12 years old, taken by her ex-husband when he was 10. She has not seen him since that for the last 2 years. And another child by the name of Asher, taken before he turned 2 years old. He's now 4. Again, she has not seen him since that time. You have a court in L.A. County, Los Angeles, that's California, that's on the left coast, who decided in the family court, despite evidence of abuse, despite many things, and Luke will explain this, that the endangered children would be placed with the father. Now, not having this, of course, and acting as any mother would, Afia went in there, took the children, and as a result, and folks, listen to me carefully, because this is the system. This is the system the left, the Soros DAs have built, the weaponized system that we are fighting. That actually, I'm on the ground fighting right now for other reasons, but Afia, this is the big thing. There are two warrants for her arrest. Two, count them, two. Subject to $500,000 bail. I know of cases where people have executed others and walked out with little or no bail. Again, in the Soros swamp, in the deep state swamp. Now, folks, I'm really, for me to stop what I'm doing and to bring a few, I'm pissed off. I'm pissed off at the inaction of the so-called Christian conservatives out there. I'm pissed off at the system, and I'm not having any of this. Okay, I just you cannot believe. I mean, I was vibrating for the last half hour listening to Afia, listening to the just what she's going through. To make sense of this, if that's even possible, or to articulate this better than my angry self can at the moment, is Luke from ShatterOps, ShatterOps.org. The link will be in the program description box. Folks, please do me a favor. Support ShatterOps, but do me a favor as well. If you are an attorney with a conscience, if you are someone who's maybe an expert in exfiltration or what, I don't know, with a conscience, then get a hold of LukeShatterOps.org You'll know what to do. But with that, folks, I'm going to turn this over to LukeShatterOps.org. He's going to set this up, bring Afia on, and from there we can go. Go ahead.
Doug, thank you very much for having us on again. You know, this is one of the most frustrating things. And I mean, we're a part of a lot of frustrating cases for sure, but this is probably the top of the list. What we've known about for the last, you know, couple years, you know, trying to step in and help, just the injustice that has gone on really across two states here. I would just encourage anybody that's jumping in, if you haven't seen the first two shows, to try to watch both of those. It'll help probably what we're going to get into today make a little more sense. I don't know that I can do it right just to quickly try to give you an overview, but the atrocity of just what the judges have done in California to start with. I mean, you got a guy who originally had the restraining order put on him. Unfortunately, him being connected in the Hollywood realm and the police either not taking it seriously or not wanting to do anything about the evidence and the opportunity they had to protect Afia and her kids is just crazy. And then the proceedings of the court to do what they did. I've even had, you know, friends of ours that are Superior Court judges and Magistrate Court judges look into the rulings and things, and they're flabbergasted. I mean, they leave with their jaw just dropped saying, this makes no sense whatsoever. This is just the most bizarre thing that I've seen, to do this to a mother and literally give the father absolutely everything, including the businesses that Afia had owned and built. It is just insane. Court appointed people that do, and psychologists or whatever, looking in to see what Jesse went through was real, and they said yes. The judges not even taking that into account, and really just forcing her hand for her own safety and for the safety of her kids to just try to do something, because nobody would believe the kids. Nobody would believe what she was really saying. The scumbag husband, you know, threatening her life, saying, hey, I'm going to look, you look crazy. I'm going to kill you. No one's going to ever find you. And he proceeded to do exactly what he said he was going to do. Actually, never any evidence that she did anything wrong, or she obviously was not crazy. She's completely sane the whole time, and no one said she was, but yet just this corrupt system was able to just take everything. And I mean, everything away from her and her ability to fight. And I'll let her jump in. And Afia, thanks for coming on and just sharing a little bit of your story and some other information you found out. I know I can't articulate it near as well, the passion that you have, but I mean, I just want to tell everybody, it is completely just unbelievably frustrating, and more people need to know about it. More people need to look into it. We've been trying to help find lawyers, family attorneys, criminal attorneys to just help out. And it is, no one seems to want to help. Even advocate groups out there in California, nobody wants to touch it whatsoever. Because when they start asking the questions, well, what happened about CPS? What happened about them getting involved? And they figure out that they had been involved and they actually did nothing. They just want to go hands off because they're like, I don't want to get involved because there's some shady business going on and I don't want to get drug into it. So Afia, thanks for jumping in with us, and please, you know, kind of start from there, if you will. I know I made a mess of it, but he's come in and clean this up. So,
okay, no problem. Thank you so much, Luke, and thank you, Doug, for having me on again. I really appreciate it. I feel at this point that the only thing I have is my voice, and to just not stop talking under any circumstance about what's going on, because I see how terrifying this situation is, how terrifying the legal system is and the people involved. And what it does is it shuts you up. And every step of the way, I just look to God and I just take another step forward and I just keep going. And it's just something, my inner like drive to get back to my children and make sure they're safe. If you throw caution to the wind at that point and you just keep moving forward, because what is your life even worth? You know, if you can't protect your children, if what is our government worth? What is this country worth if they don't give you the opportunity to protect your children, if they don't listen to you? And just wanted to give a couple of details of what I went through just briefly, because I've spoken about it before, but I was under, basically living under the roof with my ex-husband. What my children and I went through was, there's no other way to describe it, but just like a living hell until the day we got out. There was a lot of, you know, alcohol involved. My husband one night drank an entire bottle of Jack Daniels, and I had to run into the bedroom where he was suffocating my son with his head underneath a pillow, his entire body on top of him. I had to pull him off. Around that same time, I was applying to get a restraining order. I didn't know anything about the law. I didn't know anything. You know, I assumed growing up, and I was taught that if you tell the police that something is going on with you, that they help you. I was wrong. They're either corrupt or inept or a combination of the both. I still can't tell. With some people I can, it's obvious, but some people it's just hard to say if they're just going along to get along because they don't want to get involved because there's some scary people behind this. At one point, prior to receiving the restraining order, I had looked at my ex-husband's computer. It was horrifying what I found. A lot of Googling family porn, mother and son porn, child porn, of which one morning when I woke up beside him, he had his cell phone on, and I saw a group prepubescent children. So, and from what I understand, because I didn't know anything about domestic violence, I didn't know that this was such a huge problem in our country, but this is what's going on, and it's ruining families. It's ruining families. It's ruining children. I mean, it's destroying us, and it's like a rot that's corrupting us from the inside for our entire country, because you destroy the family, you destroy everything. So, yeah, and the death threats were prevalent every day, just threatening. We had a large yard. You know, he worked in Hollywood. His father has Academy Awards. He works on Academy Award winning films. So I didn't understand that in the Los Angeles area, you know, there's some power there if you're in that industry. He threatened to lock me up in the basement where no one could find me. He threatened that if I ever left, that he would destroy me. And the crazy thing is that he actually came close, but he didn't, and he won't. And honestly, if my children weren't out there, I could disappear. And they know this because I've been gone for 2 years. I could disappear and I would never reemerge. But I will never disappear and I will never stop talking, because they are still out there and I will get to them. Mark my words, I will get back to them.
Ophia, if I may, just to kind of catch people up on this. You had ample evidence of child sexual exploitation, threats against your life, against your children's lives, all of this. You did submit to the proper authorities, and at some point, okay, they really didn't do anything with the evidence that you provided. Rather, they ultimately, to kind of cut to the bottom line here, they awarded him custody. You, in response, grabbed the two children, your children, and fled. As a consequence to that, they swore out two child abduction warrants, two counts of child abduction, that would give you the potential of, what, 2 years in prison? And fines out the, you know, incredible fines, and the potential of $500,000 bail. So The next step, what happened next, was they found you somehow. The authorities found you, took the children, gave the children back to the abusive, I'll say allegedly abusive parent, and I'm being charitable there. And that's where they are right now. So you are in a position where you've got warrants out against you. You are hiding, or you are being provided with a safe house, basically. But you are in a position where you need to, want to, and by all means deserve to see your children. And you don't know exactly where they stand, what has happened in terms of abuse, any ongoing abuse. Am I correct so far?
Yes, just a couple of details that I should clarify. When I fled because the system wasn't helping me, and keep in mind, the judge appointed a child psychologist, Dr. Diane Kelly, to speak for my son in court. She interviewed him. She testified to all of the abuse he endured in court. And I'm not going to discuss the sexual and physical abuse. That's a sensitive area. But she brought it all up in court. My son called me his protector, and the judge completely disregarded her statement, which it was his appointed psychologist. And that, from what I understand, is the major, her testimony holds the most weight. So he completely disregarded that. Also, when I, at one point, when the judge threatened to throw me in jail unless I handed my children over to my ex-husband, who at the time had an open sexual abuse case against him with the Pasadena Police Department, he forced me. It's like forcing somebody who was raped to be in the custody of the rapist while the investigation is going on. So he forces me with threat of jail. When I received the children back, they were in terrible condition. They were, my little two-year-old had bruises all down on his legs. It smelled like they hadn't been bathed or showered. They were crying. They could not be consoled. They were begging me, do not return us to their dad's house. Also, they were living at grandma and grandpa's, who in and of themselves are horrifying people. So I had joint custody when I fled that night. I only had them for two nights. I fled that night according to a legal means, which was the UCCJEA, which is a law that if you're not getting protection in a certain state, you can flee to another state. Then when I got to the other state, which was Georgia, I immediately registered with the police. So I followed their protocol. I did it their way. I kept believing that the law would help me just because I was naive. So I thought, okay, well, there's just a problem here. I can go somewhere else. Little did I know that you can't run from this kind of thing. It's happening all over our country. That's why I'm just urging parents to, actually, I would like to urge domestic violence victims to be very, very careful. It's almost, I don't know if I can say this, but it's almost better to take your children and disappear and just never to be found again than to try to go through the law. I mean, I'm going it through this legally because I trust not in the law, but I trust in God, and I trust that there are still people out there that also will do what's right. Even if they're few and far between, we need to stand up and do that. And there's also a couple of cases, one out of Pasadena, which is a very prominent city in Los Angeles County, where I'm from, where they passed a new law. It's called Peaky's Law, over a five-year-old boy in the same town, the same legal system that I came from, who the mother, it's an identical situation to mine, the mother filed and got a restraining order against her abusive husband. They still gave them 50-50 custody because that's what they do no matter what. They don't care about abuse in California, or I don't think many other states, to be honest. So no matter what's going on, eventually they just give you 50-50 custody. So she had to hand over her little adorable boy, by the way, just adorable boy. The father takes him to Disneyland. They get back from Disneyland. He kills him. He kills his son. So this is the same situation. So the mother No one's fighting for the mother. No one apologizes to the mother. She starts working with a domestic violence group to develop Pekin's Law, which basically says that as of now, judges like Judge Michael R. Powell in my situation, who's either corrupt or inept, I don't know what, all of a sudden now they're required to be trained and educated in domestic violence. We're talking family court judges just now need to know what they're doing before they make a ruling. So we're talking judges, male and female, who know nothing about domestic violence. I remember one time Judge Powell told me when I had a letter, because my son was having seizures due to abuse, his neurologist at the Children's Hospital of Los Angeles wrote me a letter saying it is unhealthy to move this son, my son, Jesse Jr., from my custody to his father's custody. I had that letter and I presented it to the judge in court where the neurologist is saying we need to do special tests to see, there was a special test they could do to see if it was the mother or the father that was the abuser. And I was planning to do that test. They blocked me from that. So the judge said, oh, well, I don't think this doctor knows what they're doing. They're working out of a vacuum. So they're making these decisions when they don't work in domestic violence. They don't understand. I didn't even know what domestic violence was. I had to Google all the things that my ex-husband was doing to me. And then I'm like, oh, this is domestic violence. I don't, you know. So this is just insane. And even though I applaud, you know, Pekin's mother, this is not enough. It's not enough to educate these people. They need to be held accountable. Our judges and our legal system, people who do this need to be criminally held accountable for what they're doing. They're destroying children. How are children supposed to get over this, you know? And then there's a second case that also comes out of Los Angeles. Big surprise. Two young girls, sisters, around 15, 16 years old. They fled to their grandmother's house because they were being abused in the home. The same thing as what happened to my sons. The police went in there and violently picked them off. They had bruises and scrapes from the police officers, picked them up and removed them against their will. And we're talking 15 and 16 year olds who told Judge Connolly is her name. They told Judge Connolly, they testified themselves. You know, they're almost adults to the abuse. And the judge said, oh, I don't believe them. And Judge Powell said the same thing about my son. Oh, I don't believe them. The Pasadena Police Department. Oh, I don't believe your son, Jesse Jr. You know, who are you? Just like they're calling my son a liar. I believe him because he told me a lot. After I filed the restraining order and Jesse Sr., my ex-husband, was away, he opened up to me and told me a lot of additional things that went on. And I was shocked. But I never sat there and said, you must have, you know, seen this somewhere, heard this somewhere. No, that's what they're saying about these kids. Not only that, they sent these girls to what they call, it's something like a reunification camp, where the state pays up to 10 grand per child to spend 4 days in a camp, okay, where they force the child or coerce the child to recanting their testimony of abuse. So it makes the judge and everybody look great. And who knows who's getting kickbacks for what, right? 10 grand a pop. That's a lot of money.
Who is in charge of these what NGO, if any, that photograph up there is, has got my spidey senses going. Who's in charge of these reunification camps? Where's the money coming from and who's in charge? If you know.
I don't really know, but all I know is this. I don't know as far as how the money trail goes. I just know, you know, 10 grand a pop, you get 10 kids, that's $100,000. You know what I mean? So, sure. And they're doing this, I'm convinced, with thousands of children because since I've come out publicly, we've had story after story. I do know this, however, these camps are unregulated. So they're farming children out to these camps, brainwashing them to basically say, probably terrorizing them and a mixture of whatever. And no one's regulating these camps. No one's seeing like what's happening at these camps because of these two girls' testimony and Pekin's Law. this is now illegal. But one thing I'd like to bring up is that that we have a letter from the Pasadena Police Department that says, oh, we didn't have any body cam footage in your friend's house when we physically removed your sons. That's because Pekin's law made it illegal. So they went in there without, and that's in Georgia, in Fayette County. So they, the Fayette County Police, the Peachtree City Police, and the LA County Police went in there illegally with their, and it's a miracle because right when they step outside the door, all of a sudden they turn on their body cam. They press that little button on their suit and the body cam footage resumes. But guess what? Because it's illegal, they don't have any evidence of it. But guess what? There are plenty. There was the babysitter, the other children were there. So if we get those people's testimony, I know that my son would never leave willingly. If you look at the body cam footage from the outside of the door, he was running around screaming where there were like 7 or 10 police officers saying, where's my mommy? My daddy hurt me. My daddy did this. My daddy touched my penis. He said a lot of dramatic things. And it was like they were deaf and blind. They didn't even look at him.
But just to be clear, is this the footage that we showed the last time you were on this platform?
Yes, it is. It's the 11-minute body cam footage. And if you go on to Rumble and you can search my name, Apphia, A-P-P-H-I-A, you'll see it says 11-minute body cam footage. It's horrifying. I've actually only seen it a few times myself because it just puts me in a very, very dark place. But if you want to know what's really happening, and you know what? People think this doesn't affect them. I mean, they are taking children right and left, our government, and doing whatever they want to them. It's not just in situations. This is not a bad divorce. I mean, they're doing it with other things too that I won't get into. But if you're reading the news and you're paying attention, our children, we don't own, we have no sovereign rights over our children anymore. It's like our children, it's like communist China. Our children are not our own. The government wants to raise our children for us. And that's a terrifying thing, you know?
Afia, I want to ask you to provide our listeners and viewers with your website where people can read more about your story, everything that's going on. Just what I have here is Psalm91protection.com. Is that correct?
Yes, just to be clear, that isn't my website, but there are several news organizations and several domestic violence organizations that have been, I've pretty much spoken to anybody that will talk to me about this, just to let people know what's going on. And so they are keeping abreast of my case as well as other cases and reporting it on that website. There's also other news outlets that are reporting it, including yours. So, yes, but that's a great place if you want to find resources on this type of, I don't even want to call it domestic violence because it's violence. It's oppressive violence from coming from the government and locally at a local level against the people. So I don't even know how to name that, but it's beyond domestic violence. And this is my proof of that.
Okay. All right.
When I filed for my restraining order, I thought I did that because I trusted in the system and I thought this is going to give me relief. Little did I know my life would get so much worse. And that's saying something because what was happening to me under being under the rule of my ex-husband was horrific. But what the government, what the judges, what the police department did to me was worse. Because all of a sudden now I have a man who's threatened to kill me. And there were even two good cops who were few and far between, but they filed that he had violated the restraining order. He kept driving by my house. There were dead animals left at my door. Keep in mind, none of this kind of thing ever happened to me prior to me filing a restraining order. So who is going to be doing this type of thing, you know? So they made it clear that they're not going to protect me. They're not going to arrest him. So all of a sudden, it's the devil that you know or the devil that you don't know. At least when I was in the same house, I had certain amount of, I was aware a kind of what was going on. Then all of a sudden he's out of the house. He's sneaking in, he's breaking in, he's driving by. I don't know where or when this is going to come from, or how I'm going to might be killed. So it just be really careful when dealing with police departments and things like that, because that's what I'm out here to say is you have to be careful who you trust. And I hate to say this because I want to believe, I do believe there can be a good form of police. I'm not like anti police. I just think that the people that are running these things need to be removed and replaced, and it needs to be rebuilt from the ground up. We obviously need protection. Women and children need protection, but it has to be by people who are not profiting off of protecting anybody. Because then whoever, you know, you can't profit off the protection of children because it just breeds corruption.
Man, I'll tell you, very well articulated. Luke, shatterops.org, of course, the legacy of Russ Dizdar lives on by way of shatterops.org. Folks, please visit that website. Luke is also with us, of course, heavily involved, directly involved with AFIA and the situation. Now, the situation at this point, 2 years has gone by. There has been absolutely no positive movement. No one has stepped up and said, look, you know what? I will help you remove the children from harm. And by the way, your ex-husband is a big Hollywood something or other, he's big in Hollywood, I guess.
Yeah, he does special effects stuff on a lot of the Marvel movies and is all over doing stuff. But I mean, there were so many times I wanted to jump in on what she was saying. Yeah, to be clear,
well, go ahead.
That's not her necessarily, her website. That's some people that are trying to just expose to what's going on. And there's not necessarily every single document, but there is a lot of information to dive in and learn. And it's just so frustrating. Not even in just this case, the fact that America literally just, we've just chosen just to not even care about our own flipping kids. You know what I mean? It's like, at what point, if we won't stand up for our own kids, do we even deserve to be a nation? And the fact that you have Christian churches and Christian men that will not do a single thing. I mean, from abortion to just the missing kids that are coming across the border, everybody wants to be so compassionate about the illegal immigrants coming across. But what about the kids that are being abused and used? And it's all about funneling money. And this, I mean, this is just a small fraction of how corrupt and how, you know, people say they care, but they really don't, because they won't do anything about it. They care enough to feel bad for 5 minutes while they're listening to something, but nobody wants to feel bad enough to actually step up. And not that we haven't had some great people that have come in and tried to support and help fund her. But I mean, it is a huge uphill battle to try to do this thing the right way. I mean, she is trying to do this the correct way and by the law, and it has gotten her nowhere but losing every ability to even support herself or fund her own deal. And now we have to try to go out and get people to raise money. I mean, to get to where she wants through the legal systems, I mean, it might be $500,000 or more to get her to where she needs to be. And it's just so frustrating reaching out to people, trying to get them to help. I mean, hopefully we have a few leads on some people, but until they really take it on and go after it, I mean, we don't know. It is completely frustrating from the top down in this country on what we really think about our kids, because the proof's in the pudding. You know what I mean? From abortion to nobody cares. They say they do. Even Christian leaders, they say they care. They really don't care because they won't do a daggum thing about it. Kids being trafficked, won't do anything about it. Mothers having their kids taken away. That really is happening. She is not just, it's not a one-off, unfortunately. Like, I mean, this is maybe the second or third time we've dealt with something. Obviously, I'm hugely passionate about this because we've tried to do as much as we can to help her and do it legally and do it in the right way. And I feel terrible because as frustrating as it makes me and as bad as I feel about it, I don't have to live with it every day. I mean, this has got to be on her mind all the time. And she just feels like she's at her wit's end to just be like, I don't know, but I'm ready to just do whatever I can to just try to get this process going, no matter what it looks like, putting her own life at risk, putting her own freedom at risk. She's just at her wit's end. And I completely understand.
Where are we at now? Because again, this is a special folks. This is a special broadcast, and AFIA now having not seen her children for 2 years, not knowing their physical condition, left with people who have been reported to beat and abuse her children. Afia, what are you contemplating? Where are you at with this right now?
Well, Doug, this is a very frustrating situation. And honestly, even though I, through this process of getting the restraining order, like I described to you, and fleeing and hoping to get help in another state and not getting it and having 2 years pass, two birthdays, two Christmases, and still thinking that like somebody out there was going to do an investigation or something like that, and it just not happening. I have now decided, keep in mind, I know what I'm up against. I know that I'm putting myself in serious harm's way, but I just don't see any other way at this point. So I've decided to turn myself in to the authorities in Los Angeles and kind of see where it goes from there. There is a lot of evidence, new evidence that can be submitted in court. And keep in mind, I'm terrified, but just like Peaky's mother, sometimes it just takes like one mother that just digs her heels in and is like, no. And what is my only other choice, to like just be afraid and go away and ignore it? I can't. Every day it's heavy on my heart. They are heavy in my heart. I dream about them every night. They're always with me. I pray for them every day. I pray for all of the children every day, not just mine. I pray for the mothers that are in my situation. And maybe that's what I am supposed to do, is just to go in there and be bold no matter what the consequences are. And if more people did that, then maybe we wouldn't be in this situation. So I'm not like a super brave person. I just honestly feel like I don't have any other choice except to do this. My son is 4. He has my youngest son is 4. He's darling. He's a real spitfire. But I have 14 more years where I can fight for him in court. Just be ready, because if I have to fight for 14 more years, I will do that. I will fight for the rest of my life. What is life worth? Jesse Sr., my ex-husband, used to tell me, the only thing that matters in my life, and the only thing you should care about, is my comfort. I actually believe the opposite. What is our comfort worth if we don't have any freedom? Let's get a little uncomfortable. Let's be willing to do things that no one else will do, because it's not about you ultimately. It's about your children. It's about the next generation. And we can slide on by because we have just enough. We're comfortable just enough, and we have just enough freedom, just enough money. It's not as bad as it is in other countries, or whatever excuse people are making, but that can go downhill fast. So, if people are contemplating doing the brave thing or doing the right thing, and they don't want to do it because of the consequences, just take a step out and do it anyways. Because, the reward will be worth it, I believe, just in your soul. Just in what, it's not about you. It's what happens to your children. It's what happens to their children and their children that we have to think about. And as parents, we revoke our rights to ourselves. We are now living for the next generation. And I think people just don't get that. Their kids are almost an accessory, and I'm not saying that everybody, but a lot of people, it's like, care about what things look like, when it's rotting in from the core. And we just need to stop that. We need to take the brave steps. I'm just at this frustrated point where I don't know what else to do. So I'm just going to take that step. And something else, with the bail system in California, there's this new law where they have no bail, right? So basically they can, the DA can go, when I turn myself in at the arraignment, and say, oh, well, she's a flight risk, even though I'm going to be willingly turning myself into the system. So I'd hardly call myself a flight risk, but they could say that. And that would be a way for them to just put me in jail without any bail. So not only did they put $500,000 on my head, they could just very well go in there and stick me in jail, even if somehow it's a miracle and somebody's able to put up that bail for me, which actually there's some people considering that because they trust me, because I'm a trustworthy person, but they still might go and revoke bail. They're also using that same law to just let rapists and, you know, pedophiles and people like that out. But they're using the law right now to keep people like me, mothers trying to defend their children, in prison. And I know of several cases like that too. So I know very well what I'm up against. But I said, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, you know?
I mean, absent of any assistance, look, we've asked for assistance for attorney. You know, there are a lot of people who talk a good game, okay? I am not, Luke has never been behind a mic without working in the field. I'm away from the mic working in the field. But you know, a lot of, like you said, many people will say, well, I'll pray for you. Well, that's not enough. I mean, thank you, but and thank you for that, but that's not enough. We need action. What's the alternative? And I've gone through this the last couple of days with Luke as well. What's the alternative to you turning yourself in? You stay away. But what's plan C, if that's such a thing?
I don't know that I have a plan C. I mean,
plan A would be turn yourself in. Plan B is, well, I guess what's plan B? If you don't turn yourself in, plan B would be just simply waiting. But that's doing no one any good, sure, because no one's coming to your aid. Mm-hmm. That's capable of, that's tactically and strategically capable of helping you. Mm-hmm. So this is where we're at. I guess I'm looking for, I don't know, somebody to be able to, in thinking out loud, why should he have custody of the children if there's abuse there? There's documented abuse. Is there not a, quote, knight in shining armor or a team that could extract them from the danger in which they're in? I'm just asking. I don't know. But the fact is that no one has stepped up to, no one of substance has stepped up. It just hurts my heart. And you know, we're doing everything we can from this end. I don't know what to say. Go ahead, Afia. I guess I'm just rambling here at this point.
Well, I mean, you know, what we need to happen is we need, in general, I mean, America needs to be awakened. I'll say that word correctly these days. Awakened to the fact that we've got to get off our butts and do something. You know what I mean? Like, are there not enough people with some righteous anger in California that will do something? And is there nobody in the feds or the state or the local that will look in to what really went on and look into this guy right now and make sure the kids are okay? And put some pressure on the legal system to take a look at this. I mean, it is, you know, and people can put pressure on from anywhere in the country. I mean, there needs to be pressure. This is a case that we hope everybody will share and that tons of people out there will learn about if they haven't already. And the ones who have need to step up and start pushing it and making some noise and making some ruckus. Talk about it to the lawmakers, talk about it to the county or the state board and to the local police department or whoever else. I mean, we need people to act, to speak, to do something. Need to help support her out there, need to make sure she's okay. You know, there's so many ways people just need to step up. I mean, I know you guys on this platform have lots of people and people have done stuff. So we're not just knocking, you know, just people who are just generally going to be listening to this, because there have been some great, awesome people to step up and do stuff. We just need more. We need more of it because we're trying to do it the right way. And you know, just like she said, we're just going to trust in the Lord that it does it. So yeah, we do covet your prayers. We pray that the Lord will just turn people, but some guys specifically need to have some righteous anger and need to start stepping in and just quit taking, no, this is just the way it is for an answer, and start making some changes and do some stuff. So, I mean, I'm encouraged just listening to her. I want to be more bold and figure out what else I can do just by listening to her. You know, and then you got men in so many areas that just still will do nothing. And it's, she's so encouraging to me, but then it's so maddening to see the reality of people who could probably do more and they just don't do anything at all. So I'm sorry just to ramble and be so frustrated, but this is just so frustrating because it's the injustice of what's going on time and time and time again, and it's been going on for years, is just an atrocity.
Yeah, another thing that was interesting to know is I was watching one of Sean Ryan's shows, and he had an ex-military guy who actually goes out and into different countries and rescues children who are kept by ISIS, and it's horrific situations, obviously. But that guy was saying that it is easier to do a rescue like that outside of the country than it is in the United States. In our own country, it's more difficult to rescue and save our own children than it is to go to some third world country and rescue children there. It's far more difficult. It's far more risky because the laws are not on the side of the protectors. The laws are on the side of the abusers. The laws are on the side of the pedophiles, you know? And another thing is, you know, I reported to the police that I had seen my ex-husband looking at child porn. I mean, the FBI could do an investigation on that. They never even took his cell phone. I found we had a huge, like 1,800 square foot garage that my ex-husband used for his special effects equipment. I had never really gone through there, but after I filed the restraining order, I did. I found explosives that came from De La Mer Engineering, which is a company that manufactures explosives in Los Angeles for the film business. I found explosives in a box before I filed the restraining order in the truck, right beneath the car seat. So this is, I mean, he's an alcoholic. He's out of control. He's in charge of huge explosions for Marvel, all of the car explosions. I mean, it's out of control. Somebody could have gone into our garage, stolen the explosives, and blown up half of Pasadena. You know, or my children could have gone in the garage and blown themselves up. He had applied at our home to legally hold explosives in his garage by the ATF. The ATF denied him. He was keeping them there anyways. And then when I report this, you know, I don't understand how the law works, and I just got my restraining order. I'm incredibly traumatized. And I report this to my first attorney. Hey, I found explosives in the garage. He says, he doesn't tell me to call the police. I don't know what to do. He doesn't tell me to call the ATF. He actually says, I'm going to call Jesse's attorney. So he calls my ex-husband attorney, calls me back and says, hey, we just don't think it's a wise thing. Or Jesse's senior's attorney, Aaron Gray, doesn't think it's a wise thing for you to report this to the ATF because you might not be able to pay child support. Because then the attorneys wouldn't get paid. So the attorneys know very well this is a racket. They don't want anybody going to jail. They don't want pedophiles paying the consequences. Why? Because if they make a lot of money, they're not going to get paid. So then they're out of a job. So to find a good family law attorney that isn't motivated solely by money, because it's a huge racket. You can spend $500, $600, $700, $1 million, millions of dollars if your children are young, like my son Asher, from the age 2 to 18, paying legal fees just to fight about all this stuff. And you never get justice. And at most, you get 50% custody, which is what they were trying to give me in the beginning. But I mean, am I going to leave my children 50% of the time with a horrific family with a history of sexual abuse and child abuse, and who are teaching my children about pedophilia, teaching my children about serial killers that kill babies, cut babies' arms and legs off? That was the last thing they told me before I took them to Atlanta. Is that's what grandma and grandpa were telling them about. I mean, it's just disgusting. And you can have proof of all of this in court, and they don't care, because everybody's making a percentage. And I can't prove that the judges are, but I mean, The wheels are being oiled, the wheels of justice, into the favor of the powerful and the favor of the person with money. And if you have money, they will take it away from you if you're not on the powerful side. So that's what happened with me. I can't imagine people that have zero money at all having to depend on attorneys that work within the system to defend them. That's got to be a total loss. So there are a few people that have stood up, but I mean, these are some really horrific things that are going on. And so it's very difficult in the United States to get justice. And the other thing I found out as I was considering turning myself in and made that decision, it was a very difficult decision. It did not come lightly.
Oh, by the way, which you have not done yet. You have not done that yet.
I have not done that yet. Correct.
Folks, read between the lines here, okay? She hasn't done that yet. Go ahead.
Right. I have not done that yet. But as I was, considering that and doing some research, because again, I don't even know anybody that's been to jail. I did not grow up in a situation like that. So I don't even have anybody to call and be like, what's that like? I only have TV shows to go by, and that's horrifying. But did you know that the United States holds 20% of the world's population of prisoners? Yeah. I was for a free country, and I'm thinking, who are these people and what have they done? And how many of them are actually criminals, and how many of them are like J6er type people, that really didn't do anything, but they're just political criminals, they just actually wanted to stand up for something nonviolently, and this is the punishment that you get, is if you say anything against the system, you're imprisoned. And I think it's not just anybody that says anything that isn't against this, like you say, the left narrative, is in danger of being imprisoned. And so that's why, and I think in the back of our minds, we know that. And that's why people are unwilling to speak. They figure, oh, if I just, just kind of lay low, enjoy my life, don't make any waves. Yeah, you can get through, but how are you going to feel about yourself? And what are you teaching your children when you get through life like that? And how long are you even going to be able to do that for? Another 5 years before the hammer comes down, another 10 years.
Exactly. All right. We only have about 7 minutes left. Afia, is there anything else that you want to convey to the audience, the viewers, the listeners in this very special report? And Luke, I offer you the same.
Sure. Thanks, Doug. Yeah. A couple final thoughts that I have. One, I'm kind of motivated by what Carrie Lake had to say when the Clintons were after her. I just want to say publicly that I am not suicidal. And I joke about that, but I'm also saying it seriously. I don't know what's going to happen when I turn myself in. I do at this point, after everything I've been through, I take these people very seriously, the judges, the Noel family. I don't think that they're past anything, let alone killing someone. So I just want to make that clear. I mean, hopefully through the times that I've been on your broadcast, you can see that I'm far too passionate to give in. So I just want to make that clear. And then also, yeah. Okay. So one other thing that I was just really thinking about yesterday is that God is sovereign. He is ultimately in control, but he uses his people. And being sovereign means you cannot be checked by anyone or anything. You're at the top. So, our president, he's not sovereign. No one on this earth is sovereign except for God. And we will be held accountable for everything that we do. All these people that are living their life for the temporary, for the money, for the power, it's going to be gone one day. And guess what? You're going to have to face God. And he doesn't play like that. he demands he has high demands and expectations for his people and how we're supposed to live and what we're supposed to do. And I just want to remind people of that this is temporary. If you are in power, if you have money, that's temporary. So if there's anybody wavering on the border, I would just like to remind you that you better pick the right team. And by that team, I'm talking about the team that wants to take care of children, the team that hates pedophiles. I'm talking God's team here. The team that wants to take care of our society and our children. So, you know, there's only one being that is sovereign, and that is him. And as far as, like, you know, oh gosh. So I think we have people that are, you know, straight up just evil people. I think we have people that are working for evil people and just letting it sort of go by. And then, you know, I think there's those people on the fence, and there's people like us that are fighting tooth and nail for the right thing and to do the good thing and the right thing. And I just want to remind the evil people that your time is up, and it doesn't necessarily mean death. Your time could be up tomorrow. As far as, like, things can change on a dime. We have a whole remnant of people in this country that are fed up. And I'm calling on those people, because all we need is a small remnant of people that are fed up, and we can dethrone all of this sickness in our country. I really believe that. We just have to stick to our guns. It doesn't have to be everybody. It doesn't even have to be half of the people. It can be a small remnant, a streak of people. The Bible talks about that all the time. God uses his remnant. So if just those few people can build up that passion in their heart and do the right thing, it'll be worth it, you know? And then, of course, I just wanted to have a little, just say a little thing about my sons, because they're obviously, you know, who would have thought with my background, I was a professional ballerina. I actually owned a dance studio with 500 kids, and I went into real estate. Like, I just never thought I would be this passionate promoter for children, but that's what I am now. And I can't imagine that dissipating or going away. But my sons inspire me, because my son spoke to almost a dozen people. He was so brave. I would tell him, you know the truth and the truth would set you free. I mean, imagine being 9 and 10 years old and screaming to adults about what happened to you and having them not listen to you and try to shut you down, and you keep talking. So he's a little warrior. I can't wait to see what happens with him. And my little Asher, he's a warrior too. He's feisty. He's a feisty guy. So Daniel, my son Jesse, his middle name is Daniel, and I used to call him Daniel of the Lion's Den, based on the biblical story. He just has a strength. And honestly, he inspires me to keep going, because I feel like, wow, if I could be half as brave as him, like, that's incredible. I actually look up to him, and that's a bizarre thing to look up to your own child, but that's the truth. And, you know, little Asher, I call him Ashman, little Ashman. He's a fighter too. So I just know that if I can get to my kids, like, I think all of this can be redeemed, and we just can't give up, because, you know, there's healing and there's redemption for not just my kids, but all the kids that are going through this. And that is the payment that you will receive. That is the satisfaction in this life, in the land of the living. We will see that. We'll see healing of our children if we stand up. And that's going to be so worth it. So, I don't know. Just want to leave you with that.
That's beautiful. And folks, Afia is one of the finest women, mothers, citizens of the folks, she's the real deal, Afia. And she's a fighter, she's a warrior, and she's a believer in God. My heart hurts for her, which is why, of course, we're doing this. Luke, I'm going to turn it over to you. We have a couple of minutes left. Go ahead and take it.
Yeah, hard to follow that, man. That was inspiring to me just to hear that, just who she is and her boys being such warriors and being so strong and courageous and just pushing through, for us just to do our small part, man, it's just humbling to even, you know, get to play a role, you know, out there to the pedophiles and to the wicked. You know, justice is coming in this life or the next. You will get it, and it would be merciful for you to get it right now.
Oh, we're coming for you right now. Just to say, go ahead.
It would be merciful for you to receive it right now, because you got one chance to fix things and do it right. I would call out to the same to law enforcement, especially in California, and you know, the ones in Georgia have dropped the ball, like to fix it, to get it straight, to fix it. Somebody out there has got to do it. And then just calling out for some family and law attorneys out in California that would just have the courage to step up and step behind this and just to help us out. I'm sure there's some really good ones out there. I can think of one particularly in Northern California. She's a family law attorney. I won't call out her name, but her husband even used to be a pedophile. Like, we need some help of some people who have done this and can step in and help her fight, help us fight to make this thing right. And just calling on people to yes, we need your prayers, but we need some imprecatory prayers. I mean, pray that the Lord would break the teeth of the wicked, that he'd break their arms. If they're not going to turn, that he would just strike them dead. I got no problem doing that at all. It's biblical in the Psalms, and it's even Paul did it one time in the New Testament. So some imprecatory prayers, praying for us, praying for the case and Afia and our kids, but also praying against the evil and against the wicked. And your time is coming. So,
Luke, thank you. LukeShatterOps.org. Of course, the legacy of Russ Dizdar lives on, and the work through Luke and others. My goodness, if a better organization you will not find. And really, one of my favorite people now in the world is Afia, who's shown immense courage and a fighting spirit, and willing to do what she's got to do to see her children again, which is just beyond any comprehension. So we ask folks, that anyone listening, anyone viewing this, who can help, shatterops.org can be the, Luke, would you be the intermediary?
Yep, absolutely. Okay. Yep. Anything that they send, especially, you know, hopefully they'll make a note in there. They can go to shatterops.org and donate and put to Afia. And if it's, obviously, if we know it comes in all quick at one time, we'll know that. And I think we have our PO box on there. They can email and contact us through there and just say, hey, I want to help support this. Again, we'd love for some family law attorneys out there to step up. We'd love for some people to help support it, because it's going to be a journey to do it the right way. So,
well, folks, and to those bad people listening, I'm going to tell you right now, if one hair on the head of Afia or the children is harmed, God help you, because no one else will. We will be, Afia, we will be with you closely every step of the way, whatever decision you make, or perhaps anything new that comes because of this broadcast. We're going to be right beside you. And folks, we'll keep you up to date with respect to what's going on with Afia and her children. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for being the fighter who you are.
Amen. Thank you so much, Doug.
All right, folks, that'll do it. Luke from shatterops.org, Afia. Now, Afia has a website that, it's not her website, but information can be found on there, psalm91protection.com. The links will be in the program description box. Meanwhile, as I'm on the road, watch HagmanPI.com. And again, we'll keep you posted with respect to Afia, with respect to Shatter Ops. And by the way, real quick, as a related note, I've been in communication with Michael Yon, who's down in Panama right now, about this, about the child trafficking, about the trafficking in general. Brett Weinstein was down there. Others were down there. He had taken others down to the canal, Darien Gap, and other places. Folks, there's a lot of things going on that you may not think are related to what Afia is going through, but in fact is indeed related by way of the people involved. Keep that in mind. With that, I wish you, Luke, and you, Afia, the best. Folks, God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so much for tuning in, and please share this with everyone you know. Post it on social media. But I beg of you, look, it's not about us. It's about the children. May God protect the children, and may God raise someone up to step in on Afia's behalf and save the children. God bless you, folks.